This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Man, I'm doing great. It's it's beautiful here in Jackson. And man, just getting kind of kicked off for the week. You know, it's one of those seasons where we're kind of in between spring and summer, it feels like, you know. And so the humidity is all up and people are deciding, man, is this indoor weather? Is this outdoor weather? And, you know, folks are kind of tentatively grabbing for their pipes and all that kind of thing. But man, yeah, things are going great. What's up with you, man?
Yeah, no, it's been good. You know, still kind of adjusting to a new city, which is, I mean, to be honest, it's a little tough, a little lonely.
Yeah, man,
to get everything together. You know, I failed to mention this. This is kind of interesting, but you know, last week we mentioned how my grandfather passed.
Right.
Well, we had a party after the funeral, and I had like all these like second and third cousins I did not realize were out here in Houston. And so I got this like laundry list of folks to reach out to, but I still haven't just had the opportunity just with getting everything set up. Even the studio right now is pretty ridiculous because, you know, I was telling somebody the other day, I had this like top of the line studio, high end equipment. Everything was wired and set up. So I was ready to go at a push of a button, and I am like hardcore MacGyvering it up right now. Like it's pretty sad. I mean, you know, hopefully, you know, thanks to the magic of our wonderful producer and, you know, and of course, just the natural chemistry that you experience.
Oh, of course, because that we have every week, right?
Oh, yeah. So you'll never notice, hopefully. But really, it is. I have gone from like the top. Like I started from the top and now I'm here.
Right. Yeah. Now, I mean, isn't that true with every move, though? You know, you're kind of you're kind of up the creek for a while. Not just that, but I mean, you don't even know. You can't remember where you packed things like your shampoo or your, you know, your favorite, you know, hairbrush or, you know, the pot and pan you use for this or that. You know, I mean, it's one of those things. And of course, you, you know, being a professional kind of in this, you know, sphere, have the added element of, you know, having to rebuild your entire studio, you know, around that. So yeah, I know it makes it tough. And you know, yeah, it's and then on top of that, just learning a new city and everything else. A city as big as Houston, you know, it's it could probably kind of overwhelming. Yeah,
it's coming together though. Well, hey man, speaking of big cities, you'll be in the big city, the Windy City, this year at Chicago.
No, that is right, man.
Plans coming along for that one.
Yeah, dude, we're excited. Not a lot of concrete plans as far as you know, any kind of events or anything happening. But I know there's going to be a lot of fun meetups and things like that. It's really interesting. People are like, oh, do you have any big you know, events planned for Chicago? Are you doing a recording or anything? And the answer is no. I'm not, and I'm so excited. You know, my introverted me, I'm gonna put my ball cap on and my hoodie and, you know, try to be as indiscreet as possible and, man, just wander around looking at all the beautiful beautiful creations that pipe makers from all over the world have made, you know, mingle with some other tobacconists and blenders and just catch up with a lot of friends, you know, that we've made over the years. And I'm really excited about it, man. This is it's Chicago is such a restful experience for me, you know, just going up there man, just diving into the pipe world and community and just kind of loving on other pipe smokers, catching up, telling tall tales and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, really excited about that. Of course, that's coming up in May. I'm fired up to announce today too. We are partnering as far as announcing this with our dear friends over at Briar Nation Pipe and Cigar Club on Facebook. Briar Nation, if you are unaware, just a ridiculous, you know, roughneck group of pipe smokers there on the interwebs, and love those guys. Our buddy Jeremy Feliciano, who started this years ago, he's you know, just has such a great vision for this group, and it's out of control and ridiculous and wonderful, and we love them. But they are partnering up this year at the Chicago Pipe Show with Briarville Pipe Repair and Restoration Company, and they're going to do something they're calling Operation Clean Smoke, a Chicago Pipe Show fundraiser, and this is really cool. What they're they're doing over the 3-day weekend there from May 3rd to May 5th at the Chicago Pipe Show is they're supporting the Wounded Warrior Project, which of course helps in warriors in so many different ways. You got to think about what these people that are putting their lives and mental health and bodies and families on the line to serve our country. They come back and have a lot of issues, and so we're trying to do something that really encourages them, raises money for them, and also awareness. And so it's kind of cool. They're going to have a booth set up there at the Mega Center at the Chicago Pipe Show, and they'll be cleaning people's pipes. And so you'll be able to bring your pipe, get it cleaned, and of course make donations for the Wounded Warrior Project. There's going to be some really awesome giveaways and raffles there too. Check it out. You can go to fundraise.woundedwarriorproject.org and then look for Operation Clean Smoke Chicago Pipe Show 2019. And anyway, really cool. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you are up that way, just be sure to stop by. Maybe throw those guys a few bucks or buy a couple raffle tickets and let's support a really good cause.
Absolutely, man. Great cause, and I hope to see a lot of folks going up and supporting in Chicago. Well, hey, man. So, of course, we've got another episode. We mentioned last week is that we do have a return to our Pipe Culture series. We are going to be doing our episode in the very near future here.
Yeah.
Continuing the Pipe Culture Places exploration with a discussion on Man Cave versus The Study. Mm. And so we are asking, as we have with all of our Pipe Culture episodes of the past, we're asking for those of you who have if you've got a man cave, if you want a man cave, if you've got a study, if you want a study, if you think they're the same thing, if you think there are some differences, we want to hear from you. Put your thoughts together in an email. We'll post something out on Facebook. We would love to hear kind of what your thoughts are surrounding this idea, this debate, this pipe smoking place. Maybe for you, the concept of a man cave and the study, maybe pipes don't necessarily belong there. Maybe you can't even call it a study if the pipes aren't there. So we want to hear from you. We want to hear what your thoughts are. So be sure to send those in. Show@CountrySquireRadio. Put pipe culture in the title, and that way it just helps me find those and gather those and makes things a bit easier for when we compile all that information. That will be coming up here shortly.
Yeah, that's exciting, man. Always love those pipe culture episodes that we do, and those have gotten a lot of great feedback.
Absolutely, man. Another thing that's gotten a lot of great feedback are the episodes like the one we're doing today, where we've got kind of some industry news, some industry shakeups, a little bit of breaking news, a little slight delayed breaking news, if you will. But before we could jump into that, man, we have got a brand new Country Squire Radio Pipe Club member joining at the Pilgrim level. Ladies and gentlemen, Mike McLaughlin.
Mike probably does laugh a lot, but I'm pretty sure it's McLaughlin, but it could be McLaughlin.
McLaughlin.
I'm always interested, the English language is so interesting to me. How does that group of letters put together, L-A-U-G-H, how does that make a F? I always wonder that. How did that develop? And poor Mike has to deal with the ramifications of it. But Mike McLaughlin, we're so thankful that you joined us at the Pilgrim level for the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club.
Welcome aboard, and I apologize for butchering your name.
As is tradition.
All right, man. So like I mentioned, we've got kind of some breaking news that is going on. I almost kind of feel that there needs to be a little context for this. We have had in the past a pseudo series or maybe a reoccurring topic that we did called The Dichotomy of Disney. The first time that we had this discussion, it was on kind of the history of the Walt Disney Corporation and the various IP that they have access to, and their how pipe smoking has appeared in their movies and in their films of history, and then less so in the modern era. And then we also kind of talked about Walt Disney himself and his appreciation and love of the pipe as well. And so we kind of talked a little bit about this. We did kind of an exploration, and shortly thereafter, and by that I mean the moment that it went live, everybody and their grandmother were like, "Hey, how dare you have this conversation without reaching out to Brian Levine, who of course is the host of Pipes Magazine Radio, and as many of his fans know, if you've listened to him for some time, you are well aware. Not only does this man love pipes and pipe tobacco, he is a devout Disney fan.
He really is
big on the parts.
Yeah, man. I mean,
he is
all in. He is all in.
And so, as we kind of explored in those two episodes, The Dichotomy of Disney, We you know, there have been at times where the intersection of pipe tobacco and kind of premium tobacco products and Disney has kind of, you know, ebbed and flowed, right? There's been a lot of intersection and there's been a lot of kind of push from one to the other, or at least away from each other. And so recently that this has come out that Disney has made the decision to pretty much ban smoking on their parks. Now, some of you may think, huh, I thought that was already the case, but I'll put it this way. The best person to really kind of dive into this topic and give us an overview of what's going on is Brian Levine himself. We really can't do this justice. And so we kind of got together, and as we were discussing it, we're like, you know what, we need to bring Brian in for this. This makes a lot more sense. He is the subject expert, matter expert in both of these worlds. And so the coming together makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so. It does. And it is something we want to address. You know, so many pipe smokers are also, you know, not just Disney enthusiasts, but adults that are looking for fun things to do, maybe during the summertime with their kids and things like that. And so, you know, it might affect your plans, or it may, you know, just be something interesting to consider. But regardless, it's news, it's out there, and you know, has gotten, you know, some feedback in all the, you know, social media sphere and everything. So, yeah, man, I'm excited about this conversation.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that you're already listening to, because let's be honest, it's Brian Levine.
Boy, and I'll tell you, it's nice of Country Squire Radio to send me to Disneyland to report on this for you, because right now I am sitting in my hotel room right across the street from Disneyland, and I'm about, oh, I don't know, about 200 feet from a monorail that's just going by right now.
And that's awesome, but we're not expensing that. That was never discussed. We'll just, you know, we'll leave that to the lawyers. We got a lot to talk about.
Well, yeah, John David's having a baby, so he won't notice the extra expense.
That's right. That's right. It all kind of comes together. Well, yeah. Brian, of course, as our listeners are aware, we've had you on before, and you are, you know, obviously the host of the Pipes Magazine Radio podcast. You are the podfather of pipe podcasting, and in many respects, our own very own curmudgeon Yoda in the pipe world, a doctor of pipes, a living legend, as it were. But man, beyond the pipe world, you are a huge Disney fan. And in fact, we had you on for the Dichotomy of Disney episode that we did a few years ago, when we talked about the duality of Disney's approach to tobacco products in general. And there's been kind of some breaking news on that front. So give us kind of an update, like what's been going on with Disney as it relates to tobacco, pipe tobacco, cigars, just tobacco products in general.
About a week and a half ago, almost a week ago now, they announced that that all their U.S. parks, so Disneyland in California, Walt Disney World in Florida, would no longer have designated smoking areas inside of the parks. For those that don't know, until about 1999, 2002 or 3, somewhere around there, there were just ashtrays all over the parks, so you could smoke wherever you wanted. And then they said, you know what, we're going to give you a designated area. So the beginning of that was, you know, about one designated smoking area every land, you know, within reason. You could still find a smoking area at the beginning of Main Street and then at the end of Main Street, no problem. One in each land, convenient, couple of park benches and an ashtray. Then they started trimming those down further and further, to the point where at the Magic Kingdom in Florida, where you're looking at a park that is about 140 acres of public space, maybe 150, they had cut it down to two designated smoking areas. And the last time I was in them was in February, and I think I'd figure they were about a total of maybe 1,000 square feet out of 160 acres. They had gone through a transition where, you know, they made them, they tried to discourage smoking, and then they tried to improve the smoking areas at Walt Disney World in particular, and I was really happy with them. They were great places to go and, you know, grab a cup of coffee, or if you're at Epcot, grab a beer or something, and, you know, just spend a half hour off your feet. And I'd bring my pipes and I'd sit there, and, you know, the wife would do something, or, you know, she might join me or not, but it was just a great place for two or three times a day to sit down, get off your feet, smoke my pipe, relax. And now, as of last, coming up May 1st, they are going to no longer have smoking areas inside the parks. And it's not so much inside the parks, it's inside the secured areas of the parks.
Now, when you say secured areas, you know, I've been to, I think most recently I was at Disneyland about 2 years ago. And actually my wife and I are kind of looking at possibly returning there this year if everything works out. But I do remember there was kind of a, it was like a smoking area next to the, what was the runaway train?
Big, you know, Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. That's right. Yep. So somewhere around that area, there was kind of like a tucked away area. Is that what you mean by the secured areas, or is this something different?
No, they are taking that Big Thunder Mountain Trail smoking area, and May 1st, it'll be gone. You will be outside of the ticketed turnstiles, and even further out, you'll be outside of the secured area where you go through bag check, and now they have metal detectors. So you won't even be outside the entrance. You will be another 100 yards at Disneyland in particular. And from what I understand, they are talking about just allowing this open area of, before you go through bag check, to be a smoking area, putting up, you know, they already have trash cans and ashtrays because I went and looked at it, but there's no park benches. There's no real sheltered areas. There's none of that. It's just going to be free flowing outside of the secured area.
Now, for any listener who hasn't gotten the opportunity to go back and listen to kind of our original discussion with Brian on the dichotomy of Disney, we kind of unpack how, you know, in the kind of classic Disney cartoons, you had a lot of characters that either smoked a pipe or pipes were kind of involved in what they were doing or using. You know, I think, you know, the meme of, I forget the character's name, but the husband from 101 Dalmatians just furiously smoking his pipe.
Roger.
Yes, of course. You know, we've seen that constantly on Twitter, especially those of us who are in kind of the pipe Twitter world. And yeah. So, you know, we've got this imagery. And of course, Walt Disney himself was a pipe smoker and a fan of the products. And Brian, you're something of a collector of Disney tobacco products and cigars, cigar boxes. You've gifted me with one as well. Can you kind of unpack the significance here with Disney making this move?
So here's my feelings. In 1990, they closed down the last tobacco shop on Main Street in Disneyland. They still had a branded front door tobacco shop on Main Street in, you know, 29 years ago. In that time, they have not, this is my opinion, which I'm the leading expert on, they can't figure out how to make money off of it. So they have just slowly but surely shrunk it down to the point where 29 years ago, they had a full service tobacco shop on Main Street to now, as a convenience to hotel guests only, they will sell a limited assortment of cigarettes and cigars at the hotels. And they're hidden. You have to know where they are. You have to ask for them. And you also have to take out a loan of three easy payments and a mortgage to buy a pack. But they have done what, you know, and I hate to be this blatantly blunt, but the anti-smokers are a very, very vocal minority, and they are vivacious in their hatred of those of us that enjoy tobacco products. And they have just bent over and slowly but surely curtailed this. And shut down smoking throughout their properties. By the end of this, on May 1st at Disneyland, there will be 4 smoking areas at the hotels, and the rest of it will be outside of the secured areas. And that's it.
Now, when you talk about kind of the anti-smoking contingency, you're, you know, let's be honest, you're a little fresh off of a public beating on Twitter. I mean, is that a safe way or a fair way to describe it?
I don't look at it as a public beating. I look at it as exposing the lunatic fringe for what they are. I didn't take any offense to it because a lot of that stuff that I was told to do was physically impossible anyway. And
well, I don't know, man. I mean, if anybody, you know, you could.
Probably. Yeah. I don't really mind having a discussion with the uneducated, but when the uneducated are just blathering idiots that are screaming and yelling, okay, well, go about your life, you know. Doesn't offend me at all, but I really could not physically do some of the things that they requested that I do.
Well, unpack the context here. What was kind of the nature of the tweet and the discussion around it?
So the main reason I joined Twitter was to hassle you guys.
You're not alone in that. I feel like we've brought a lot of people on board for that reason.
I had, prior to this, I have about 3,300 Facebook friends. I have about 600 or 700 followers on Instagram. And I had about 120, maybe 150 followers on Twitter. Hmm. And the only time I would really tweet something, I was trying to get better about it because of my travel business. But, you know, I had maybe 6 tweets that I'd done in the past. And I would tweet something out and I'd get 4 people that would like it. And usually it was, you know, complaining about the, you know, the people of Jackson, Mississippi, which, by the way, Bruno Mars mentions Jackson, Mississippi in one of his songs.
Of all places. One of his backup singers in that particular song is from Jackson, Mississippi. Star, I think it was, I'm going to blank on her first name. But she, when he was writing the song and kind of putting it together, she really pushed for Jackson to be mentioned in there. So yeah, hometown hero right there.
Yeah. So, and then I posted on all of my social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I posted a picture of the policy and I posted a picture of a letter that I wrote to Bob Iger, chairman and CEO of the Walt Disney Company, explaining how I'm not going to be happy about this and how it's going to affect my my time at Walt Disney World and my time at Disneyland, and it's going to limit my it's going to more limit the times that I will spend there. I didn't go into details of what's in the letter. I didn't think I needed to go into details on the tweet or the post on Instagram or the post on Facebook that I am a pipe smoker, not a cigarette smoker. I was one, but so I got about, about 40 or 50 comments on Facebook and, you know, a mix of likes and stuff and a few anti-smokers that were very polite about stuff. Instagram, the post went out into oblivion and, you know, 3 people liked it, 2 people said something, and that was it. As of yesterday, the Twitter post that I did got picked up by some antis that I had no idea who they are. They're not friends of mine. Everybody that's a friend of mine on Twitter is pretty much linked to Country Squire Radio somehow. But I got 125 negative comments, about 14 shares. I got 75 likes and 133,000 impressions, which 133,000 impressions, to the best of my knowledge, means that it showed up on 133,000 people's Twitter feeds.
You went viral. You went viral. Well, almost, not really, but
yeah. Well, I went viral with you know, some support from the pipe and cigar community, and just I think I became the poster child for the anti-smokers because I got told that I was killing children. What else did I get told? I got told that I was causing migraine headaches, which is funny because I've suffered from migraines for years. And one of the ways to relieve a migraine for me is to smoke. And it got shared and I responded to some stuff. I responded inappropriately to a few things.
Of course.
And I left it there because I don't care. That's the way I felt at the moment. But at the same time, wow, these are some angry people.
Yeah. Twitter, I will say between Twitter and Facebook, I tend to be more pro Twitter just because at least people are limited to, you know, 260 characters as opposed to being able to write an essay on all the various things you can do to yourself. but I will say, yeah, it is. It can be in the midst of kind of heated debate or when kind of sacred cows are attacked, it ends up being kind of a public flogging. And so, yeah. I want to say, that's. You know, we here at Country Squire Radio do not, and any like it, be it with our friends or our enemies, we never want to, you know, go after anybody that we disagree with in such a way or want to encourage our audience to do so. So what I'm about to say, when I say, if you haven't already, check out Brian's Twitter feed, I'm not saying go in there and start subtweeting or try to fight, you know, go in back and forth with some of these folks, because a lot of it is just shouting. You know what I mean? There's no real good quality discussion that's actually happening. And here on Country Squire Radio, we're all about good quality discussion. We don't want to just yell at people for the sake of yelling people. We try to err on the side of being positive, not negative. And I mean, so this is one thing that kind of, you know, I've been wrestling with and kind of processing myself. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, but this ban essentially on the parks before this took place, the smoking areas were both for cigarette and pipes and cigars, right? Like there was no discernment in the what you could smoke in the park. Is that correct?
No, and it also included, and here's the kicker, it included the vaping. You could only vape there.
Oh, that's interesting. And so they went from that to just a full flat out ban.
they went from isolating everybody in the park into one little area or two little areas, depending on what parks you're in, to now saying that you are free flowing to roam about the outside secured area smoking wherever you want out there, which is, these are the areas that every guest has to walk through at least twice a day. Hmm. Now, they took them away from a spot where a guest doesn't have to walk by at all during the day and just put them free roaming. So I, on the other hand, you know, I don't suffer some of the politeness that you folks that were born and raised in Mississippi do. I fully intend, and I have access to some management folks at the Disney parks that have given me inside information, but I fully plan on the next time I'm at a Disney park to spend a good amount of time standing out there smoking my pipe and walking back and forth in my own little choo-choo train of a protest out there, making sure that people have to walk back and forth through my smoke. Because I'm tired of it. We can't enjoy something that that they can't allocate a space for us. And they can't understand as a Disney company how to monetize that. So they just said, forget it. We'll get rid of all these people.
It's a tricky situation. Of course, they are it's their park. They're able to make these decisions. It's and it also makes it difficult because, I mean, you talk about the anti-smokers as kind of a public or as a minority, a vocal minority. The reality is that when it comes to, you know, their customer base, the Disney customer base, the smokers or the folks that would actually enjoy that space are also kind of a minority and they may not be as vocal. Yeah. And I think probably therein lies the challenge that lay before. But it sounds like, Brian, if I'm hearing you right, you're at the core is it's kind of the idiocracy of kind of, you know, taking away what was controlled and now making it forced upon pretty much everybody. So if your end game was you don't want this to be forced on everybody, your solution ended up inadvertently forcing it on everybody by making them have to kind of go through the smokers when they're walking into the park.
It's just the stupidity of saying, okay, we had you in two little spots and now we're just going to release you to the wide opens of the entrance areas, which makes me kind of wonder, well, what are they going to do in the hotels, because the hotel areas have designated smoking areas, but those are outside the secured areas. This is a corporation that is publicly traded. You can buy stock in it. You can, as a stockholder, complain about the way the corporation is managed. But they've done this without any foresight. They've done this without any planning. And honestly, they could have provided better smoking areas inside of the property.
Sure. I mean, we've seen this in airports. A lot of different airports have, you know, kind of smoking rooms that are air controlled and everything, so that even if you're walking by the door, you don't even like pick up the whiff of kind of the cigarette smell.
Yeah.
Any other kind of final things that listeners should be aware of as it relates to the, what do we call this, the Disney smoking ban, or do you have a hashtag now, Twitter celebrity?
No, I've laid off of Twitter. I'll poke at the bears when I want to again. I will say that I do blame I blame smokers of my age and older for their ability to lay down and let this happen. I blame pipe smokers and cigar smokers that said, "Oh, well, they banned cigarette smoking, so that's fine. It doesn't bother me. I don't smoke. Yeah, I don't smoke cigarettes." Well, guess what? When they banned cigarette smoking from the patios of restaurants and stuff like that, they banned cigars and pipes too. So I think that we as people that enjoy tobacco, and this is the hardest thing for any non-smoker to, or any of these anti-smokers to understand, is that we enjoy smoking a tobacco product. We need to have our voices heard. We need to let our state assemblies know, our city councils know that when they enact smoking bans, they affect us enjoying some, you know, from us being able to enjoy something that we like. And we need to, you know, we need to tell people that this is not the pariah that it is. So we need to make sure and let people know that, let people in companies that we patronize and in our cities, counties, and states that we live in, that we enjoy tobacco products, and we need, you know, we need to make sure and let them know that we're not just addicted to it, we enjoy it. There's a whole completely different thing out there. And in fact, in some cases, we need to be provided for with reasonable accommodations to be given a place to enjoy our product when we're out using public facilities.
All right, Brian Levine, he's the host of the Pipes Magazine Radio. You already know. Be sure to check out his podcast. And Brian, have a good time at Disney. We know you'll be marching and puffing along the way.
Yeah, and if I get into trouble, Bo, I'm going to call you and go, Houston, I have a problem here.
No, man, I'm not going up against Disney jail. Absolutely not.
Yeah, they do make you sing It's a Small World all day long. So,
all right, talk to you soon, brother.
Thanks.
All right, man, once again, we want to give thanks to Brian Levine. I had a wonderful time. Anytime I get a chance to sit down with him, man, it's a good time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, obviously, you know, there's a lot of frustration on pipe smokers' parts and things of that nature. But, you understand all sides of the conversation here. It is complex and frustrating. We live in a changing world. And so it's like, man, how do we balance all these, you know, opinions and preferences and things like that? So regardless, I was really happy just to hear Brian's, perspective on that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. And Brian and I kind of talked about this off mic briefly off we got off the phone. When he kind of talks about how part of the responsibility for this falls on those that want to separate, you know, the pipes and cigars from cigarettes.
Okay.
I told him, I was like, you know, man, I fall into that category. So, I mean, you can firmly plant me there. And I do think that there is a better way forward in terms of education around the separation of these products, as opposed to kind of what the way to combat smoking regulation has been in the past. I mean, I think that if nothing else, if we kind of look at the fact that so much ground has been lost for those of us who enjoy premium tobacco products, because they're not going, I mean, the reality is they're not going after us, but we get grouped in with this. We get lumped in with this. And so I think there is a path forward that really is about separating that stigma. John David, we actually did an episode
called Separating the Stigma.
Called Separating the Stigma. And it's kind of frustrating to me because I don't think I realized until last year when I was getting the new feed put together for our patrons, but Separating the Stigma actually fell into one of our first 100 episodes. And so at the moment, it's an exclusive for those that are on Patreon, but it's such an important discussion. And so I think it might actually, what I'd like to propose to you, I'm kind of thinking off the fly here, which is always dangerous.
Yeah, it's really dangerous when we, but no, that's great. Continue.
Well, so I would be interested at maybe reopening that topic of separating the stigma, but doing so with kind of almost like maybe an idea of kind of spitballing ideas of not just how do we separate the stigmas for our audience, but how does our audience even moving forward separate the stigma at large? And I know there's different schools of thought on this. They're like, you know, I've gotten in wonderful discussions and debates with people that I have, you know, just the immense respect for as I've traveled around and visited pipe shops. And there are those that are like, no, like we, you know, cigarette smoker and pipe smoker, like we need to kind of stick together. We need to value the cigarette smoker. And I'm like, I value everybody as a person. Don't get me wrong, but in terms of the practice, I see them as very different, different.
Yeah.
And anyway, all that to say, it's a deeper discussion that if you're willing, man, I think it's worth kind of.
Yeah. No, I think that'd be good. You know, historically, and you know, the records there. I mean, we've kind of come down on that, you know, side of the equation where we do tend to differentiate more and think it's a different thing. That's why, frankly, I don't sell cigarettes other than like Nat Sherman's, which are, you know, additive free at the Squire. And so, but I understand and relate to and certainly get the frustration of folks that prefer that all the different various forms of tobacco premium and the alternative to premium, stick together and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's obviously there's a lot to be said there in our changing culture and, the constant drumbeat of further regulation and thing like that. that. And certainly there's a bunch of different opinions on that. And, you know, that, you know, I think we could be a nice forum for her. So, yeah, let's rip it back open, baby.
Well, here's the reality of it. I mean, this is kind of the elephant in the room is that no matter who you are, like if you take kind of the health debate out of it entirely, and just go on kind of a you're coming about your day. If somebody's smoking a cigarette, like you're going to smell that. And unless you like love that smell, like you are impacted by that action, right? And so, especially for a park like Disney that tries to control every single aspect. I mean, like, what is it? They did a study where waste is only on the ground for like less than 2 minutes or something of that nature. It might even be, you know, down to the
second.
Oh,
that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like the idea is that wherever you stand in a Disney park, it is crafted in a tailored experience. And so part of that goes into the smell.
Yeah.
And so I get it. And as me and Brian discussed, there are better ways to create, regulated like smoking spaces. I mean, we've seen this in airports. You know, we've seen this in a lot of ways where, you know, you can, like, I don't know if you've ever been to the, I think it's the Atlanta airport.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but, or maybe it's the Chicago airport, but like there's the smoking room that's kind of tucked away and you walk by it and you see all the smoke, but even when the doors open, it's like air controlled so that you don't smell anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's actually, yeah. Pretty impressive.
And the point of it is this has been done before, right? You know, I mean, there are solutions out there, but it's, you know, it's the will to continue to press to, find, creative ways to implement this stuff and also to, hopefully apply some consumer pressure maybe to, or lobbying pressure, one or the other, to, or both, to make accommodations for people that still, enjoy tobacco. Yeah. I don't know. Certainly there's plenty there to talk about. And I think, I don't know. I think that's a good point. We ought to rip that back open.
All right, man. We'll do it sometime very, very soon. You know what I'm going to do very, very soon?
What would that be, Bo?
Oh, I am going to be smoking my good quality corn cob pipe from Missouri
Meerschaum.
That's right.
That's right. Speaking of travel, Missouri Meerschaum pipes make a great companion for your summer vacation because they're so light. Most of them come in a very nice compact size and are able to travel nicely in maybe your favorite carry-on or your personal item, as it were. And we want to talk today about a Missouri Meerschaum pipe that is just incredibly handy, but also very high quality, has a generous bowl and a very stylish look. And that is a pipe that is now available after a little bit of a hiatus of availability. And that is the Dagner Poker corncob pipe. It's one of their most popular corncob pipes there at Missouri Meerschaum. You can find it at corncobpipe.com and get it directly from the source or from your favorite premium pipe retailer. But the Dagner Poker, it's a good looking a poker style pipe. You know, you've got that cylindrical bowl at just a very slight angle, the very high quality shank that comes out with a nickel band and a wonderful black mouthpiece there. And so unfiltered pipe, it's one of those that is going to be a little more simple, a little more for the purist there, but really sharp looking. It has that kind of black rusticated polished finish, which is really nice. So, and straight from Missouri Meerschaum, they say the Dagner Poker Cob from Missouri Meerschaum was designed by Jason Dagner in the classic poker style. While the dimensions of the pipe are purposely compact for easy storage, such as your shirt pocket or maybe a carry-on, its bowl holds plenty of tobacco for a leisurely smoke. A dark stain has been added to the finish of the bowl, and it has a hardwood insert in the bottom imprinted with a logo unique to this pipe. The shank also is a hardwood shank and is fitted with a nickel band and acrylic stem. So again, just a really handsome pipe, retails for about $25 and, just a really good looking pipe. It's probably one of the sharpest pipes that Missouri Meerschaum makes. And, again, is one of their most popular offerings. So check it out. Very affordable. It's one of those that if you take care of, it'll last forever and just a great smoker.
Hey, if you got one, be sure to smoke it this week. Take a picture with yourself doing so. Tweet it to us. We love retweeting those out to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know that you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man, we've got a pipe question this week coming in from Pastor Joda. No, not Yoda, although he does address it. He does address it. Hey, guys, I've got a quick question. In a previous episode, John David talked about different chamber sizes for different types of tobacco. He mentioned Virginias go well with more narrow bowls and very fine cuts. The counter was true for wider bowls being better suited for chunkier cuts and my
melange.
Thank you. And melange type lens like a good old English. But what about cake and broken Virginia flake? Is the broken flake world, in the broken world flake, I'm thinking particularly of my dear McClellan 40th anniversary. May it rest in pieces. Also, yes, it is Pastor Joda, which sounds like Yoda. I'm one of my church's pastors, and Joda was my gamer tag back in the day on Star Wars Battlefront 2. Oh, classic Battlefront 2, ladies and gentlemen, on PlayStation 2. That means nothing to John David, but that means everything.
It means absolutely nothing to me, yeah.
Finally, he said, finally, my 13-year-old came up with a car game. When you give her and her little brother a choice between two things, they have to pick. She couldn't figure out a name for the game, so I threw out Quick Fire Questions. She loved it. Thanks, guys. Congratulations on the baby, John David, and congrats and prayers for Bo on the move. Again, that is from Pastor
Joda. I think he's actually saying, though, the way he phrased that, Bo, I think he's actually saying that it sounds like Yoda, that you're supposed to pronounce it Yoda. He says, also, yes, it is Pastor Yoda sounds like Yoda. Like he's saying, no, you pronounce it that way.
Interesting. So you're saying Joda, like the J is silent.
I think it's, yeah, like probably the, Spanish pronunciation or something like the Latin pronunciation. I don't know.
Pastor. Pastor, you gave us a pronunciation guide and I still butchered it.
You
just can't win.
It's true to form, so that's good. You know, it's like, it's like, how can we spell this out and make it as complicated as possible? Pastor Yoda, dude, thanks so much. That's fantastic. Great question. So when I'm smoking these kind of chunky flakes, I do think Virginia's smoke best in a kind of a tall, narrow bowl. But in a flake tobacco, I do find myself often resorting to something that's kind of shorter, maybe not super wide, but a medium sized bowl. My favorite favorite pipe to smoke a flake Virginia out of tends to be, for whatever reason, a Prince. Really love the Prince. I love how it's just straight. You can see it right in front of you there. The size of the bowl, a medium sized Prince, just gives enough width and also enough height for you can kind of, I don't know, keep an eye on the tobacco, but also see it as it, we discussed last week, when you light flake tobacco, a lot of times that tobacco will start to kind of puff up and, expand, and you start to see it inflate over the top of the edge of the bowl. And it's just incredibly satisfying. I really love that. And so, I don't know, for whatever reason, I tend towards a medium size Prince shaped bowl. I don't go with really large pipes for a flake cut because flakes tend to burn kind of slowly. And if you load up a big pipe anyway, man, you could be sitting there a really long time smoking a flake tobacco. Some people that fold and stuff a flake, will actually take the flake and they do like a tall bowl, because what they'll do is they'll take the flake, fold it into kind of a long strip, and then just poke it right down the middle of that tall, narrow bowl. And so that might work for you. Again, your mileage may vary, but that's what I tend to do with a broken Virginia flake. So anyway, just seems to work best for me. I love the fact that we're getting your 13-year-old already kind of primed as a future future CSR listener. I think that's good. And so just start to maybe bring in some some more of our shtick, and we'll just see where that goes. And that way, by the age of reckoning, we can it'll be a nice transition.
you know what has always driven me crazy? You know that that game, Crimes Against Humanity. That's what it's called, right?
You talking about Cards Against Humanity?
Cards Against Humanity. Thank you. Yeah. Which is basically just apples to apples, but
right.
For
no, that's right. It's foul and terrible and offensive and awesome.
It seems like ripping off a card game that already existed. So my thought is like, how did they make all this money by just making a card game, putting some words on it? And then now I'm realizing, man, we've got this Quick Fire Question, the card game. we're very marketable. This is a whole untapped market.
We could, and then sell the expansion packs and everything. I like that. That's good.
Oh, it's down. we'll get the digital version with like special effects and graphics. Oh, it'd be great. We'll put together the digital. It'll be insane. Pastor Joda, thank you so much. And if it's Joda,
I think
or
it's
Yoda.
The
force was not strong with you on that one. But thanks so much for writing in. And hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, be sure to send it in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quickfire questions brought to you by Country Squire Radio. Yes. T-shirts.
We got them, man. We got them. They're available. They're ready. And man, we're sending them all over the country, all over the world, as it were. I think we did send one to Europe just the other day. But yeah, man, some awesome Country Squire Radio themed T-shirts. They're available at thecountrysquireonline.com. Man. If you'll go to that website and then click on accessories in the shop category, so you'll go to thecountrysquireonline.com, click on shop, and then click on accessories, and they're in there. But man, got some really cool offerings and several different sizes, and would love to get those on you. And man, of course, every bit of that goes to supporting the show, and so we greatly appreciate it.
Listen, yes, gear up. So here's what I'm picturing right now. So now we got some different styles. You could be that deep thinker with the "This is not a podcast" pipe or a t-shirt. You could be a Squire Scallywag pirate with that t-shirt. Here's the deal: get yourself a Country Squire Radio t-shirt. Do it now. That's okay. We'll be here when you get back. But get it, because you got pipe shows coming up. But more importantly than that, you've got your local like pipe club. And so, you know, we've been very just honored to be a presence in a lot of pipe clubs and kind of a topic of discussion from times. We've had pipe clubs that'll actually play our show in the background while they're meeting and that sort of thing. But you might be in a pipe club, but you're not sure who all listens to Country Squire Radio. And maybe you're that John David style, like introvert, and you just don't even know. Wear the shirt. Everybody, that's what you're going to do. Everybody to their next
pipe club meeting. It's the icebreaker, right?
Wear your Country Squire Radio shirt. Yeah, it's the icebreaker, but take a picture of it and we'll retweet that out. Promote your club. Like do it. And we'll show you guys some love on the social media channels and whatnot. So anyway, and it's a great way just to connect with some other Country Squire Radio fans by wearing your Country Squire Radio shirt.
Awesome.
So there you go. Find those on the website. And
shameless plug.
Yeah. Quick fire questions. Ow! All right, man. Speaking of quick fire questions, we are continuing through. I think this is our last round from our anonymous quick fire question sender. This is the Survivor Man edition. Pick location that you would stand the best chance of surviving in.
Okay.
All right. Yep. Are you ready, sir? All right. Here we go. Tundra or desert?
Gosh, probably the tundra, I'd say. I just think I could find more resources there, right? I mean, you know, in the desert, there's just sand, right? Mm. But I mean, you know, maybe the occasional cacti or, you know, scorpion or something. But, you know, in the tundra, I don't know, maybe you could, you know, find some wood or something to burn, or maybe a slow yak that you could follow up on and then subdue to, you know, warm yourself with. I don't know.
Yeah. Huh. Okay, that's good. So my thought is that in the tundra, you know, being born in Mississippi, raised in Mississippi, spent a few years in Tennessee, and now in Texas, like I feel like I'm made for the desert more so than the tundra. And I would just be so cold I couldn't even move.
Yeah. No, that's fair. It, growing up and living where you've lived, you're probably more made for the swamp, but that was not one of those. That was not that one of the true questions. So.
All right. So you say tundra, I say desert. Next one, temperate forest or savanna plains?
Savannah. Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably go with I'll probably go with temperate forest. I don't know. I think that about the forest. You've got more cover. We're probably a little more used to that living where we live. Yeah, I'll go with the forest.
Yeah, I think you're right. The resources in particular. And here's really what it comes down to: the swamps or the mountains.
I don't know. I think in a mountain range, you'll be more exposed to element. Of course, you know, swamps, and, you know, that means a lot of moisture, and that brings its own diseases and things of that nature. I don't know. I'll go with, I'll go with swamp, but by hair, I think.
Mm, interesting. Yeah, I'm going to go with mountain range, actually. Because as much as, like you say, condition for the swamp, I feel like I would enjoy the mountains a little bit more.
Your mental health would be a little sharper if you were in the mountains, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You got like the beautiful scenery around you.
You'd be willing to stick it out a little longer in the swamp. You might just give up.
Exactly. Deserted island or cave?
I think I'll go with deserted island. Yeah, I like that. You might find some rum or something, you know, that some pirate buried a long time ago. I don't know. Yeah, I'll go with deserted island.
Yeah, 100% deserted island. I am fairly claustrophobic, so cave ain't gonna happen. Tropical forest or Australian outback?
Let's see.
Good day, mate.
I'll go with the outback. You know, there's something about the tropical rainforest, you know, that is scary to me. There's so many like ridiculous like creatures that wriggle and creep in the rainforest, you know, and are poisonous and can do all kinds of bizarre things to, you know, find their next meal. And I don't know. I think I'd rather deal with, you know, kangaroos. Now, I know kangaroos are mean in their own right, but I love that video that went around, you know, the internet a couple of years ago of the kangaroo. He put someone's dog in headlock. And then finally, when the owner of the dog went and confronted this kangaroo, the kangaroo released the dog. And then the kangaroo and the owner of the dog ensued this boxing match, which was just it was just glorious, you know. And so, you know, there are things to be said about being terrified of the Australian outback. But I think I'd prefer it over the tropical rainforest.
Well, if it's anything like the Outback Steakhouse, I'm taking the Australian.
We do love Bloomin' Onions. I mean, let's be honest.
Got to get that Bloomin' Onion.
I want the Bloomin' Onion. I want the – what's that drink they make? It's called the Wallaby Darned.
I think it's called beer.
No, that's Falstaff's, but they have that Wallaby Darned, which is, you know, obviously play on words for, well, I'll be darned. And it's it's just a concoction of all these things that you know, you typically don't admit to drinking.
Oh yeah, yeah. They put a little kangaroo in it. What's that thing? Sesame? Not sesame seed. What is it? Vegemite. They put Vegemite in it, right? That's the thing. I have no idea what that is.
And you're speaking like a someone from South London or something, you know? Oh. You did great, man. I believe in you. I believe you did great.
There you go.
Sell it.
And to all of our, and there goes our Australian listeners. All right. Well, hey, great quick fire questions. And if you got some quick fire questions for us, be sure to send those in. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, man, we got some listener feedback. This is coming in this week from Toby Spry. Now, Toby, of course, is a Country Squire Radio International Club member.
Toby says, how's life, fellas? Patreon, other than YouTube, is the only place I can figure out how to post, and so this is what I'm doing. I'm fairly new to pipe smoking. Thanks for working 12-hour shifts. And so I went through your backlog in quick fashion. I must say I've grown attached to listening to it every day, and I had to support the show. I plan one day to make a pilgrimage from Kings Mountain, North Carolina, with a local small batch bourbon and gin in tote. I have yet to get so far about 50 or so blends and found anything that I like. Only two I love, GLP's Quiet Nights and Sutliff Chocolate Mousse, hence my suggestion of handpicking maybe a mystery box kind of thing so, you know, folks could try. But any suggestions on anything that he would like or dislike or love more than his first two true loves, which are Cornell and Deal Star of the East and his, of course, Little Devil Missouri Meerschaum Pipe. And so, man, yeah, we hopefully as we go on, we'll try to think of some things that you, you know, would smoke and enjoy. It might be some good segues to that. If you like chocolate tobacco, maybe try one of our house blends at the Squire. We've got, you know, Tobacco du Chocolat, which is a great tobacco. And if you like Quiet Nights, you also might enjoy Green Dragon from the Country Squire. That's a good one as well. But man, Toby, thanks so much, brother. We're so glad you found us and so glad that you're able to support our show. And man, just stay in touch.
Yeah, man. We also, I might need to save some of the details on this until I get a full-on confirmation. But suffice to say, like, we've got some super talented folks who are listening to the show, who are even supporting this show. And I got a message from one of our club members who is a songwriter and a performer and just came up with this really beautiful song that I hope to feature at some point on Country Squire Radio. Actually, I reached out to him after listening to it and I was like, oh my goodness, this kind of speaks especially to our Squire Select episodes. If at all possible, I'm hoping to share that relatively soon because I hope to have a Squire Select soon, man. In fact, we've got so many great shows on the horizon. We've got the pipe culture, Man Cave versus the Study, which we look forward to getting all of your feedback and thoughts on. As we discussed this episode, we want to do another Separating the Stigma coming up soon. I'm sure that y'all have got thoughts on that. Feel free to send those thoughts in. And honestly, this is an interesting issue that's kind of going on that we discussed this episode. So if you've also got some thoughts, you want to send those into the show, we'd love to get those. Great way to do it, of course, is keeping up with us by sending those into show@countrysquireradio.com. You can also reach out to us individually. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at _ _country_squire.
Of course, the show's handle is at Squire Radio, but all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Well, man, we, whenever there's kind of industry shakeups or just news in general, it's always interesting to see how people respond to it. And I look forward to the emails because I already know there's going to be emails.
Yeah, no, and I think it's good, right? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of, give and take here. People have strong opinions, but are we disappointed that we can't smoke our pipe at Disney? I mean, let's just be honest. Yeah, I'm disappointed. I can't smoke my pipe at Disney. Is it a complex issue? Well, yeah, this is one of those things that they've been slowly chipping away at, and so we just got to figure out where to go from here. But always good conversation, and glad to bring it up. And of course, no better person to talk with anytime, and other than our dear friend Brian. So thanks again, Brian, for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Well, hey man, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.